go to thecognitiverampage.com. Feel free to contribute, donate, keep fueling the change, whatever it is that you guys can do to help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support and, of course, your contributions. Love you.
Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. My book, The Cognitive Rampage, A Scientific Approach to Self-Discovery, Change, and Life Optimization, is now available on Amazon. Search The Cognitive Rampage, and you'll find the second edition there, as well as the Kindle version as well. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hanging out with me a little pre-show like that. Sometimes, I don't know. It's fun for me, man. You get all hyped up. I actually had Jason McKenzie in here on the last podcast, and I usually play the music like that loud, kind of getting hyped up for any guest comes on the podcast. Jason was kind of like, oh, man, I'm hyped up, man. This is good. So I hope YouTube doesn't kick me off for doing it. They may always edit it out anyway. So if you're hanging out and it's just a few of us pre-show, we get to do that, just us, and then it goes away after it gets posted. But been a couple weeks since I did a From the Book series. Before I get into that, actually, I want to tell you about the Cognitive Rampage workshop that I'll be holding in Orlando on September 23rd. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., so it's an all-day workshop. It's kicking your front door psychology Saturday is what you could call it. But I'm titling this one, Moving Beyond Life's Transitions. There's all kinds of life transitions, and you may find even now that you're continually in a transition, right? We may discover that about ourselves along the way, but there's certain transitions that do affect a lot of us. And this workshop is about that. We're literally going through my book, The Cognitive Rampage, which you can get on Amazon. But if you sign up for the workshop, you can sign up for it at adamlowry.com. The minute you sign up and register for it, we will email you a free electronic copy of the book so you can get your homework in if you want to. But the idea of the workshop is to be able to work it as a group and interactive setting with myself and those around us, to be able to question ourselves, but using the group modality, if you will, to be able to add perceptions or opinions even to what we build in our own lives, right? So it's going to be an all-day affair. Bring your note writing hand, bring like 7 pens, be ready, even be hydrated, come ready too, because mental work is tough work and all of it's connected, as you'll also find out when I start talking about the competence creators on this series. But it is all connected, so come ready, come prepared to work. Whether it's trauma, abuse, addiction, depression, anxiety, pick it. Your past, period. Anything that life is really maybe holding you down, right? You may be sitting at rock bottom, right? That's what the workshop for. That's what the book is really for as well, is to pull you from that place with some good self-discovery, but using some scientific frameworks from all the scientific theories, from behavioralists to cognitive practitioners, environmental influence, biological influence, the movement influence, as I'll talk a little bit on this podcast too. But yeah, that's the workshop. Sign up for it. And if you're a member of the Tribe of Change, there is a special pricing link for you on the Facebook group wall, and the password is listed there. So click on that, put in the password, and you'll get that price reduction as well. And there is a YouTube pay-per-view. So if you can't make it to Orlando, Florida, or if this isn't a good enough reason for you to plan a vacation to the Mouse Mafia residents in Orlando, then you can always go to our pay-per-view on YouTube, and we're doing a pay-per-view stream there. Won't be interactive, I won't be able to interact with you, but you'll be able to watch it. So anyway, that's a lot of things actually coming up, to be honest. And I'm sort of working, if you will, in my creative phase of my third book, Athlete's Depression, but just kind of laying out mentally the map to the end of that. But I'm not too worried about really putting that out till next year or even longer if I need to. But this podcast is the From the Book series, part 4. As I mentioned in the beginning, essentially I've just gone through my book. Part 1 was, well, it was the principles of change. And I told it kind of through my story like I do in the book, but connected a lot of dots there in the first 6 chapters, if you will.
But I skipped over chapter two, which was competence creators. And the reason I included this chapter is because I'm not that naive, as some may think, that it's just about thinking your way through things, right? That there are all kinds of influences, epigenetic influence or external influences, right? And the more we discover, the more we realize, if we want to make changes in our lives, it's almost it is a total paradigm shift for change to last in your life and to assimilate quicker. Is you got to work all aspects, the mental, the behavioral, for some, even the spiritual. I didn't include that part of my book, but I hinted at it a few times because it's quite subjective. But I want to stick the book to what was researchable, if you will. But it's taking the cognitive sciences, applying the behavior sciences, and then mixing in the biological and environmental influence as well, taking account for those by building a framework for you, a scientific framework that you then construct in your own customized order through your beliefs. You do that for quicker assimilation, right? That's why I tell you to find your life philosophy, as the last from the book series talked about, because when it's your philosophy, you actually will choose from more of your truth than just the emotions. You're not up to renegotiating that philosophy when life calls on you to make a choice. If it's someone's quote, if you will, it's a little easier to bend the rules of that quote. But I talked about that in the last podcast. So the same idea is added to this part, right? So the competence creators are vast. I mean, in the world that we live in now, with basically anything at the touch of your finger on any search engine that you choose to use, right? Google would be the main one, right? But all the information seems to be there. Now, there's also tons of misinformation too at the same time that you have to sift through. Tons of people that say one thing, people that say the other. It's a lot of noise if you're not careful as you walk through so many rabbit holes that exist on the internet today when trying to seek out competence and what's healthy and what affects us, right? So for me, I wanted to include this chapter and do a special show from the book series part dedicated just to it because they are that influential. These parts are that influential in your life, and more research is beginning to show more and more about these. Now, for sure, I promise you, I'm going to forget or not name someone that is a serious player or founder, if you will, of some research that I may mention that I'm going to forget. So I apologize. If I do, what would be great is if you commented, even emailed in, hey, look up the research of this person, such and such. Add it to the comments so we can expand on whatever research or knowledge or competence we're dropping or learning from other people. So we can expand on that, not just attacking about what was missed or what was bad about it, but add to this, right? The cognitive rampage, the tribe of change is about adding all of those opinions, having that many people working on the same team to question and re-question and support too as well. So, forgive me now to those that I may forget or names that have made a serious impact in the field, especially newer ones that I may forget. So my shout outs, my apologies as well at the same time. If I forget those important names, by no means are the names I'm using the epitome, if you will, of that field or that area of research, but it's ones that moved me at certain times in my life. And no, let's not get it twisted. A lot of the people that I'm talking about here, not all of them, but a lot of them build off the shoulder of giants, as I mentioned in my book that John Campbell says, right? We build what we know, what we learn, what we experience. We add that to the mixture of the knowledge of the human race. And we add to that, or we even subtract from that, or just by arguing with that, we can discover new paths and new mixtures, if you will. So what the book really did was bring all those together, all those names from behavior psychology to cognitive psychology to biology, right? Even to epigenetic research, all kinds, and try to squish them together to that framework. So even some of these competence creators have to cite tons of people. They have to, and miss tons of people. This happens, right? It happens sometimes. Some miss people on purpose to take credit. And some people just honestly forget or don't know or haven't seen. So again, forgive me if I forget certain names that add to these fields, but these are names that move me and that also stand on the shoulder of giants as well. To mention just a rundown of names. Now, I'm not going to cover all of these names on this podcast, but all of these names are mentioned in one time or another or multiple times throughout my book as well. The idea was to kind of point you to where competence lies, to where you would then take your own mojo, if you will, and go find it yourself, right? Find your own interests, as I talk about. Find the curiosity of the child again in your life and use competence to do so. And when you chase these names, chase it down as if you're still a curious kid wondering what your hand does, right? Look at the leaf. It's so amazing, right? Everything is so beautiful and amazing as kids for, I'm generalizing, right? But that idea, that mind frame is what I want you to think about. So as you dive into these names, now these are names, again, that I mentioned in the book and will take you further that also built on the shoulder of giants, et cetera. Some of them were the giants that started it and some were not. But I will not discuss all of these people on this podcast once again, but they are mentioned in the book at length. And please, I urge you, look them up. Even if you've heard of their stuff before, just search through it and add these names together and look at the recipe that you start to come out with, right? Part of it may be the cognitive rampage. So a lot of the names, some of these, again, I will talk about tonight, but the book mentions, I talk about some of the cognitive greats like Albert Ellis, Aaron Beck, some newer names that we've seen come to the forefront in biogenetics, like Dr. Aubrey de Grey, Dr. Rhonda Patrick. I'll talk about her a little bit as well. Dr. Mark L. Gordon, Dr. Bruce Lipton, New Age philosopher and fellow cognitive rampager Jason Silva, Stephen Kotler, Jamie Wheel. Stephen Kotler, who's been on the show twice, talking about his first book the first time, The Rise of Superman and Stealing Fire, second book, but his partner and co-author Jamie Wheel, Dr. Jack Cruz, who I will definitely be talking about tonight, Naudi Aguilar, who I will be talking about again tonight, Leo Dannebaugh, who is a major, major influencer in my life and mentor as well. I think he's actually podcast number 52 on way back. But Dr. Carl Hart, I talk about him all the time. He's actually been on the podcast as well. Tim Ferriss has a mention, who you know. Ryan Holiday, both are kind of a new age era or a new wave of biohackers, as they're related to, and entrepreneurs and helpers, etc. But Tim Ferriss and Ryan Holiday are mentioned in the book. And old school, right? Eric Erickson, B.F. Skinner is the behavioralist that I mentioned in the book. Albert Lazarus, who I adore very much. I love his books. It's actually one of the last cognitive books I read was Lazarus's book. But Kohler, Tolman, Bartlett, Chomsky, Helmholtz, Titchener, James, Socrates, Emerson, Peel, Dr. Stanton Peel, he's been on the podcast as well. Durant, Newton, Maxwell, Stuart Chase, author of Tyranny of Words, Berkeley, Hume, Mother Nature, my mother, my brother, and especially my grandmother, Mema, all of them mentioned in the book. But those are competence creators in my life. But to pull directly from the book now, if you will, the first competence creator that I mentioned is actually Aubrey de Grey. Aubrey de Grey, a biogeneticist, somewhat of a philosopher as well. He is actually featured on a documentary called The Immortalist, which I suggest you watch, but don't plan on going to sleep after you watch that, right? He's actually on the research and the idea of trying to figure out how to be immortal. Would you be immortal if you had the opportunity? If they gave you the choice, I mean, you didn't have to be a vampire, well, werewolf or nothing, right? You could just be it. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'd take it, but they're studying that along with the same mention in that beginning intro is Dr. Rhonda Patrick. You can look up her stuff at Found My Fitness on iTunes, YouTube, everywhere. But she began to emerge, if you will, to the mainstream through Joe Rogan Experience podcast. And she goes on a lot, but Found My Fitness. Sometimes I listen to her podcast and I don't even know what she said or what the guest is saying. I got to listen numerous times and go back. But she links so much research to vitamin D, gut bacteria, the link between your gut and brain functioning. So much research. And she puts out even more. She works on Alzheimer's, dementia, all kinds of research is coming out of Dr. Rhonda Patrick and her colleagues. So I had to mention her a lot. She was a big influence in my life at the time of writing the book as well. She led me to all kinds of rabbit holes as well. So be prepared when you start searching into Found My Fitness and Dr. Rhonda Patrick and her work, and especially Aubrey de Grey's. They go very deep. They talk a lot about the epigenetic influence, which is something I love to research and think about, right? The epigenetic, or the on top of genetics, right, is what that means. So there was this big talk for a long time, right? The DNA code, decoding that and finding the answer, right? That everything is based in genetics. It's genetic. That's all you ever heard, especially in addiction. That's all you ever heard. And with their research and many, many, many others that are researching, the epigenetic effect seems to be a little stronger. Now, in the book, I don't talk about, nor do I try to make the argument for nurture versus nature or which one has more influence, right? I think I took the high road and just kind of said, I played Sweden on it and said, well, let's just assume it's both at intermittent times that change at various intervals in our lives, right? We know the environment affects us, but we also know our genetics can affect us. But we can apply epigenetic effects that actually make your predispositions less likely to appear or appear later even, or even with less severity. So Dr. Rhonda Patrick, her research again, Aubrey de Grey, look into their stuff. You'll go down a rabbit hole. You'll have fun for a while, but don't forget to come up and breathe once in a while. And check out some of the other people that I mentioned as well. I go on in the book after those two brilliant, brilliant people. Let me slow down. I hear a lot, just even if it's strangers just walking by or even people I'm close to, you hear many, many people just trying their asses off on how to either lose weight or get better sleep or do all these kinds of things, right? All these tricks of the trade, from magic pills to secret potions, right? To do all these things. And a lot of people also feeling sad, feeling anxious, and really don't connect. They try to play off that our biology, that our environments, that how healthy we really are biological has a huge influence. That we can't just start thinking ourselves to be happy if we're in chronic pain due to being overweight, right? Or training improperly if we're hurting ourselves every day. How can we focus on optimizing our mind or reframing our beliefs and being strong enough to face those things, right? When you're constantly in pain or your biology's not responding or your brain's not firing as well as it could be, right? So look at your biology. Sometimes you may have been facing depression, anxiety for a long time and have been trying everything under the sun and just maybe blowing off how much your biology actually has an influence in your mental health. It's a massive influence and has a huge part. It plays a huge part in your future. It's played a huge part in your past. And in your right now, it may be playing an even bigger role than we imagine. Because sometimes we like to think once we handle our problems, then I'll worry about getting healthy. And separating those two can be dangerous. When we focus on both, sometimes one will heal faster than the other one will play catch up. But the biological influence is what I'm stressing here as being so influential. And the environmental influence is extremely, extremely influential, especially in the world of addiction. Many people are convinced that they have personal defects, right? That they have a brain disease or an addiction disease, and this can kill spirits. This can cut people off and destroy them. So the biological influence and paying attention to those is important. And there's so many avenues we can go down, not just I got my dog running underneath me. Not just trying to reframe our mind or think better thoughts, right? These all sound good, but it's about working all of those paradigms at the same time, changing all of those, being willing to question all of those, okay? And leading into questioning things. Stephen Kotler, who's been on the podcast twice, and his co-author and friend, partner, et cetera, Jamie Wheel, have founded a wonderful organization called the Flow Genome Project. And the Flow Genome Project has studied flow state. Now, they're not the first people to talk about it and probably won't be the last, but they have made the most noise and probably leeway than anyone that I've seen in flow state, et cetera. And they've studied everywhere from Navy SEALs to extreme sports to, pick it. They have been all over studying this phenomenon of flow state, and it hits home for me because the cognitive rampage, if you will, I think is a fancy way of saying flow state. We get in this mind dump, if you will, to where, as they've learned, the brain actually begins to shut off. I mean, Stephen Kotler shared his story about Lyme disease and battling a lot of biological deficiencies by putting himself in flow state continuous times. I mean, he talks on the podcast at length about his specific flow state choices, how many, how he balances that. But we hear about flow all the time, and at least I do. It's the realms I walk in, right? So the realms we walk in, we tend to hear about. But if you haven't heard of Stephen Kotler, Jamie Wheel, or Flow Genome, I suggest reading all of his books. He has multiple books out, but The Rise of Superman for me is kind of the beginning of the flow state investigation, if you will, when it really starts to bring in some scientific influence as they study groups and self, as he uses his own story to walk through that. But it would be pure naivety of me to just assume that the brain has no influence, right? So for me, including things that talk about flow state, that talk about brain imaging and mapping, if I didn't talk about them, it would be naive, right? To simply say that the structure of your brain, the functioning of your brain has no influence on how you feel or how you behave or how you think would be wrong. So I had to mention that, right? And to bring a lot of that together, I used, I'll call him the New Age philosopher, Jason Silva. I used a video that he did, and I quoted it verbatim in the book. You should look it up, about the epigenetic influence, where he does kind of mold all those together in his flow state. So I brought it up in the book to kind of use it as the description of nurture versus nature, its back and forth, and where we are with it, and a beautiful summary, if you will, of the neurological influences, the flow state studies, and the genetic studies mixed with the epigenetic study. Definitely look up that video. It was a Shots of Awe video you can find, but looking forward actually to having Jason Silva on the show sometime soon. He reached out and said he was finishing up a couple things, but in due time. So I look forward to spreading some shots of Cognitive Rampage back and forth once he comes on the show. But Jason Silva has all kinds of philosophical work out there that if you listen to, it just at least makes you either question him or question yourself, even question the world, and send you down more rabbit holes of why, of asking why. Because, you know, in the book, I lead to that part, right? We talk about our story and our mental health with such concrete magnificence that this is what it is. This is who I am. This is what I've been through. And we typically don't question that. We'll question anybody else that throws things our way, opinions or ideas. But many of us don't question self. And if we can at least have competence creators that are posing ideas, thoughts, theories, and wordplay even, to us, that at least makes us go, I'm not sure about that. Well, then you can grow from that. That's how you can find that curiosity, that asking why to many things, including yourself. I've talked about the epigenetic influence, the obvious neurological influence, the philosophical influences I brushed over, and a lot of names that I've read, and the cognitive influencers, mentioned a couple behavioral influencers. But to continue with some of the biological influences, Dr. Mark L. Gordon was new to the scene of addiction treatment, which now focuses a lot on PTSD treatment, which is huge. Sadly, there's a giant rise in PTSD from many of the soldiers coming home, the veterans returning that were actually never treated from the war in Iraq and even further back. So any leeway with treating PTSD is something I was and still am interested in and trying to keep up on. And Dr. Mark L. Gordon, he's changed a lot, right? It's a new era, a new area, if you will, for him, but studying the hormonal influences. Now, don't quote me, but I think in the book I mentioned there's 20, 25 different hormones that we balance, or that can be off balance, that cause so many things. Most people are aware of about one, two, or three of those hormonal influences. But, you know, he had a lot of patients that were dealing with the chemical incarceration idea that I talk about, that you have mental health issues, so let's just give you these pills, the magic pills that send you down all kinds of spirals. And when you work in PTSD with that, it can be very, it can be a dark prognosis, right? Not a very happy outcome at many of those, at the end of those, really. And so what he was doing was finding ways to balance the hormonal influence, to find the chemicals that were off balance, balance those and eliminate. He was actually, he talked a lot on a few podcasts about patients, had direct patients on with him that were 14, 15, 16 medications a day, that he had gotten down to just two or three with his influence. So for me, talking about Mark L. Gordon, Dr. Mark L. Gordon, was important because his research, I believe they reference him as testosterone and a couple of other different ideas that he's kind of manipulated how he, not manipulated, but changed and had to change how he words what it is, the actual research. But look into what he's doing, especially if you're dealing with addiction, especially if you're dealing with PTSD, or if they have you on tons of psych meds, look into that. You know, I talk in the book, it won't be on this podcast, but probably a little bit here, about having yourself tested, right? Having a complete blood workup and further, right? That it's good to do to know your baseline, especially if you are a believer in supplements, et cetera, right? Supplements are to be taken to supplement what we don't eat and what we don't have. To take too many of those sometimes can cause issues. But so I suggest in the book to get a full workup, right? And your doc's not going to send you the full workup. Whatever he's circling or she's circling to get tested out, it's not going to be all of it. Make sure you get a full spectrum workup. Get all the levels checked fast. Check your levels after that. Do it on multiple times. But know where you lie, because then you can actually begin to treat it biologically. Sometimes some of the depression, sadness, little things that may be going on with you can easily be changed by finding that one supplement you may be missing that's causing issues with you. There's ways to do that and do that naturally. So the influence that's there and knowing what your baselines are, knowing where you really stand before you start pounding supplements, especially if you've been on all kinds of supplements, right? After you try to come off of those supplements, your body's kind of going, oh shit, I don't know what I got to replace, what I have to make anymore. It takes a while. You're coming off of psychotropic medications, you know, for your mental health issues. I always suggest working with your doctor on those, but titrating off of those, not just kicking them off. You can have dangerous repercussions many times just by quitting psychotropic medications, narcotics especially. So just ease on that idea if you are in the middle of treatment like that. So do it safely. Do it with the doc who's been prescribing them. But it is your job really to bring it up and say, do I have to take these for life? You know, I talk about that too, along with getting yourself tested. Is this a lifetime medication? Because so many people take Ambien to go to sleep and it's not made for life. It's made for short term, but so many people take it for years. They just don't ask. Instead of saying, hey, how can I get off this medication? Even certain psychotropic medications like mental health issue that treat your mental health issues, you can titrate off of those. Find natural supplements that may help, right? Not all of them do, but you can find that. And until you have that competence, until you have the self-competence, the biological self-competence, if you just start adding experience and behaviors and things to that, then you don't even know what you're building on. You don't know really what you're risking and how much you actually may be hurting yourself thinking you're doing good for yourself. So know your baselines, right? And even when you do get diagnosed, as they like to do, they diagnose you very quickly. Question these things, right? Get second, third, fourth opinions, but be a good patient. Keep a treatment journal. Keep a journal of medications if you're taking them. Don't be the patient that's just sitting there in front of your doctor going, yeah, I took it and I felt okay. I woke up and I felt a little better. I mean, you got to get detailed, right? So much of mental health, especially, is run off a patient report. So be a good patient at the same time. You know, join team, heal your ass, right? Don't just fight the doctor. So many people fight them, you know, when they're trying to be treated, or your healer or whatever you use, right? Especially ourselves. We fight ourselves in even trying to do that. Now to circle all the way back. After Dr. Mark L. Gordon, let's talk about the two infamous that you all know that have been on the podcast actually together, Dr. Jack Cruz and Naudi Aguilar. You'll see Naudi now, who checks and triple checks and double checks all kinds of research and people out there, has really come a long ways in understanding Dr. Jack Cruz's research, very intricate and meticulous and well-worded, I must say, research. I even write in the book to try to summarize his work is damn near impossible, but I definitely suggest looking up. It's drjackcruz.com. Please look into it. It's sad at the same time as you discover it of how much damage is actually being done through blue light exposure, through EMF exposure. These are things that I promise you, most of us were not taught to think about. They were okay things. Sure, maybe your mom told you if you watch TV that close, right, your eyes will burn out or your eyes will go crossed, all the things we heard, right? but there may be some actual real issues with the EMF, right? With 5G that we see coming out soon that Dr. Jack Cruz has walked into and began to really make light, forgive the pun, about the actual influence of light in our lives, right? It's linked directly to vitamin D. You see tons of vitamin D deficiencies around our country, around the world, really. And this has terrible effects. And Dr. Jack Cruz is a neurosurgeon. So he is an actual brain surgeon. So when you listen to the podcast that he's been on three times total, two as an individual and once with myself and Audie Aguilar, listen slow, take your time. Do some back-end research after it. Write down all the books that he said as well. Look those up. It'll help you. We had a guy, Dr. John Joe McFadden, on the podcast, a book that Dr. Jack Cruz has mentioned a few times. Definitely check that podcast out. But the influence of circadian light rhythms is it's devastating to our culture as we know it today. And it happens to be what our culture is today. I mean, as I sit with headphones on in front of all the EMF, all I can do is hear Dr. Jack Cruz telling me, like you told me on my podcast, I'm not sitting in a room dying like you are. I'm trying to bring you up to my level. And you see the red light and purple light on in the background. We try to follow some of it the best we can. The sun went down here, so I don't have that sunlight anymore, but we did move out of the studio at least, Jack. So cut me some slack, would you? But I had to mention him. He's such a innovator and a changer. I mean, he put together, he talks about on the podcast, what he called the quilt on a plane ride home when he was trying to help himself lose weight. Even the neurosurgeon who followed all the instructions of everything people were saying he was supposed to do and couldn't find it. And then found this. Found the influences of blue light, the influences of cold showers, even of breathing techniques that you can use all at the same time, and not so focused on workout, calories in, calories out, nutrition. But now, actually, the nutrition. Let me slow down. He does talk about ingesting a lot more seafood as well, and a link to that. But please go back and listen to Dr. Jack Cruz's podcast, all three of them, and especially the one with Naudi Aguilar. Now, Naudi has really been like a brother to me over the last few years, as I've had him on the podcast multiple times, and even his own channel, if you will, The Myths of Fitness, his own playlist on our YouTube channel. But that my little brown brother, as I referred to him, has chopped up the fitness industry with quite a lot of vigor and takes a lot of bullets for what he says and puts out a lot of stuff. But the man's playing quite a chess game. And sometimes even myself, I look back and squint my eyes and say, all right, I'm not sure about that move, but it is your chess game. But I had to mention him in the book because he is one of the first to, if not the first, to look at biomechanics in a whole new way, to study it and question it and be willing to question the mainstream things in fitness, right? The yogas, the CrossFits, the weightlifting, things even for me that hit a cognitive dissonance to where I was flat out denial. Like, come on, man, you know, but it's real. There's real effects there. I mean, life-changing effects for certain people. Ashley Kramer is a guy who's a Tribe of Change warrior writer, a blogger on the podcast, but he's also a blogger on the website, but he's also been on the podcast and shared his story, which is tragic in the beginning, but a heroic at the end, but just wide-eyed that somebody could find something like functional patterns that would change their life so dramatically. So I had to mention FP and Naudi in the book, FP family, if you will. The FP doers, and shout out to all you all out there that are doing it and willing to question the norms and walk through the fire, if you will. Sometimes the fire is self-created and sometimes it's needed. You know, what Naudi does certainly makes you question self, the world, others, which is necessary. And many of us, like I said, we find it difficult to question self, and especially things that may have worked for us in our past, like lifting weights for me at the moment, you know, changed my life and had influence. But I was hurt a lot. I was injured most of the time, just walking around sore. So, you know, it's difficult to let go of those things. But again, being able to question self. And I think that's what competence creators are really about, is they have probably a unique ability to question others but at the same time are able to question themselves and maybe even question the impossible. You know, I like to say that if you're not willing to question the impossible, then you're planning for the inevitable. Well, if you're to be an innovator in a field, then I think it takes questions, right? Not just following the pack, right? I mean, competence can be subjective in a way too. And in many ways it can't be, right? Scientific competence, I think even sometimes gets looked at as fact by so many people in so many fields when really the nature of science is even to question itself. So, you know, stating certain things as fact may be a little crazy, right? Especially if we look at the history of science and the history of the human race and things that we have said are that are no more and things that we believed once were something we're able to change to something else, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. You know, but I think you also are a competence creator, and at least for yourself, because when you can become more self-aware, which I talked about earlier in the other podcast from the series, I think happens much quicker when you can be humble, but okay with being wrong. A lot of people will fight being wrong, but when you can be humble enough to be okay with being wrong and question yourself, we can gain that self-competence, that self-awareness that allows us to build a real, genuine self-confidence, not an arrogance, not something that we have to force feed ourselves or sell to ourselves, right? Or fake it, hoping that we make it. That authentic self, you know, I've even been questioning that idea of authentic myself lately. Is if one recognizes and adheres to the idea that we are in a constant state of change and we are not just who we are at any given point, if we're aware of that, can we truly be our authentic self, right? Because if we're changing, we never really are that still thing, that authentic thing. But perhaps maybe to curb it and argue the other side, as I say, if you can't argue both sides, that you're not fully competent. But maybe the other side of authentic is that you're being real in the present with yourself and with others, that you're not hiding or you're not filtering or you're not photoshopping. You're actually sharing your authentic thought, your authentic belief, which may put off the authentic feelings. And maybe in that moment when we're doing that, maybe that's what we can refer to as authentic. But these competence creators have found their authentic voice and how they add to our society, how they add competence. And at least they also add questions to our lives, to science, to our future, and to this amazing human experience. Thank you to all the competence creators out there, those that I mentioned, those that I didn't. Yourself as well. Thank you for all your work, your willingness to question the norms and to paint your thoughts and your philosophies with the most authentic strokes. For we all stand on the shoulder of giants, and your shoulders are also giant. I love you. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you live in your cognitive rampage. Bye.